Please turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Here in Genesis chapter 3, this comes after creation. Everything is perfect. Everything's fine. Well, we know what happens. The serpent says in verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Which is amazing to me, because technically they already knew the difference between good and evil. What is good? You know, eat everything. What is bad? Don't eat that tree. I mean, what else is there? So anyway, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and how could she see that it was good for food? I suspect the serpent took a bite. Now, that's just me, okay? But somehow she got convinced that it was good for food, and pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons or coverings. Now, this whole thing of made themselves aprons, you know, in some of the artist's renderings, they basically, it's almost like it's a pair of underwear. You know what I'm saying? The way they put the fig leaves together. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly the way it was, because it's talking about a covering. Besides that, have you ever put on an apron? I mean, like when you're cooking? Well, that covers a whole lot more than just what an undergarment would. But regardless, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings or aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man, like God didn't know, right? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Well, now, that is true. But still, you can kind of tell, you know, it ain't my fault. I mean, if you hadn't given me this woman, you know. And I mean, honestly, that kind of stuff's been going on ever since. Not between Kathy and me. I mean, let's clarify here, all right? Well, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, that's true. But she already knew what she wasn't supposed to do. Well, verse 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You know that the serpent, he was the first false prophet in the Bible. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, or dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now this whole story, verse 1 through verse 21, this is just a brief summary of everything that happened. We do not have the full account of the entire event. For example, we don't know what type... Okay, God said, Adam, you know, you hearken to the voice of your wife. But I don't see her saying anything to him. Do you? No. Other than God saying that you did, that she did. Here it just says that she ate and gave to her husband, and he ate. But there must have been some interaction there. But in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, whether this was just like underwear or a larger covering, I want you to think about this. They realized they were naked. And what that means is, well, they were naked, but there was nothing to put on. So they came up with the idea of sewing fig leaves together. Well, that didn't just happen in 5 minutes. They had to get however many fig leaves were necessary. I mean, have you ever seen some of those plants where the leaves look like an elephant's ear? The big old thing. Okay, well, maybe the fig leaves were like that back there in the garden before the fall. I don't know. But, you know, you have to get a bunch of leaves together. Then you're going to have to figure out how to sew them. They didn't have needles. It's not like Eve could say, well, let me get my sewing kit. And she goes and, you know, brings out her little plastic box and, you know, plugs in her Bernina and then, you know, starts sewing fig leaves together. No. They had to figure out what to use as thread. Then they had to figure out how to, you know, put use something as a needle or whatever to put holes and connect the fig leaves together. And they, if they had just used one fig leaf to one fig leaf to one fig leaf, leaves aren't that sturdy. You know what I mean? They tear. So they had to get a bunch of fig leaves to make it durable to create a garment. I have no idea how long this would have taken. At least a day. At least a day for them to make garments that were satisfactory to them that would last at least for a little time. And where it says that they made themselves aprons, I mean, for all we know, they made 4 or 5 pair. I mean, seriously, I don't know. They made coverings. And then verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. We don't know how much time passed between verse 7 and verse 8. I mean, it could have been 5, 6 days. It could have been a week. It could have been 2 weeks. Because they had to finish making the aprons, making their coverings. They worked hard to do this. And then, let's just say, a week later, God shows up. And they hear him. He's walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And he called unto them, you know, where are you, Adam? He said, well, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. This means, number one, when they heard him walking, they were familiar with the sound of him walking. I mean, they didn't sit, what, you think that's another serpent? Wait, who do you think that is? Now, they knew that was God. And then when he spoke, Adam, where are you? And he says, well, you know, I was afraid after I heard your voice, and I hid myself because I was naked. He knew the voice of God. He recognized when God spoke. That means this isn't the first time that he heard God. Well, then God goes through everything that we see there. You know, what'd you do, Adam? Well, what'd you do, Eve? Well, serpent, you know, here's the judgment. But then if you look down in verse 21, it says that the Lord God made coats of skins. Now, when you look this up in the Hebrew, I mean, it literally means animal skins. So then what God had to do is take an animal. Now, Scripture doesn't say this. I personally believe he used a lamb, the sheepskin. That's what I truly believe. You don't have to agree with that. That's okay. But he made coats of skins. Now, the nakedness of Adam and Eve, it was the proof of their sin. Meaning their awareness of their nakedness was in and of itself like conviction. Because they knew what they had done. And what's interesting is that when they realized what they had done and how severe the consequences were, I mean, they didn't know the fullness of the consequences yet, but they knew something had happened. Because God had already said, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. So they eat, and they don't die, but all of a sudden, you know, their eyes are open, they see that they're naked, it's like, okay, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Now, think for a minute. Looks like we're all adults here. Married couples usually like it when they're both unclothed. You follow what I'm saying? Look at you out there looking at me like, I don't know what you mean, Brother Mike. Good heavens. Some of you even have kids. Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about.
We don't know how it happened. It just, you know, one day we're drinking the water, and the next day, boom, there she is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Married couples usually like to see each other unclothed. But there's something about this that honestly I don't fully understand yet. Now maybe in time I will. But there's something about this. They saw each other in a way they had never seen each other before. And they realized, okay, something bad has happened. Because if they didn't think it was anything bad, they wouldn't have tried to make a covering. They'd have just said, well, Shazam. But that didn't happen. They got concerned. And so they make a covering. Well, notice what they didn't do. They didn't fall on their knees and call out to God. Instead, listen to this. They created their own religion and covered their sin with the work of their hands and the fig tree, the fig leaves. See that? And God showed up, and again, Scripture, this is just a summary of the whole event, but God showed up, and in verse 21, all it says was, unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. In other words, to kind of like read between the lines and fill in the blanks, it's almost like God said, you know what? I realize you've tried, but this isn't good enough. This isn't going to work. You need to understand that because of what you've done, blood must be shed. And right there, honestly, I believe, and I have no idea how this happened, but God killed a lamb for each of them. And as they're watching, think about this. They've never seen death before. And here God takes this lamb, innocent little lamb, and I mean it would have been, you know, grown up big enough, And he kills it. And then not only does he kill it, he skins it. Now, I've never been a hunter, but I know what happens when people, you know, go hunting and they kill something, and it's called, you know, they have to dress it. That's the stupidest term I've ever heard. Dress, you're not dressing it, man. You're cutting it open. You're taking out the innards. You're cutting the skin off. I mean, that's weird. Well, I'm not a hunter, okay? I don't like to kill stuff. I've never been a hunter. I don't like to go fishing. I mean, that's just me. If you like it, that's okay. Pastor Brock, I know you like it. That's all right. But see, I've never done that, and I would never want to. I couldn't stand it in science when we had to dissect frogs. That was disgusting. I remember, you know, here, this guy and I were sitting together in the back of the classroom, and back then, our classroom, it didn't have air conditioning, so the windows were open right behind us, and we're supposed to be dissecting these frogs, and it's like, oh, this is gross, man. They stunk, and blah. He took it as long as he could, and he said, oh, blankety blank. And he grabbed his cut open frog by the foot and threw it out the window. And it landed on the sidewalk in front of these girls. That were That's not in my notes, but I just thought I'd tell you. Anyway, can you imagine the shock what they were seeing as they're watching this? And see, God not only had to butcher this animal, but he had to do something. I guess nowadays they call it tanning. He had to do something so that when they put it on, I'm guessing that he did something so that when they put it on, the blood wasn't all over them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just took that skin off and said, you need to put this on. You know, you need a covering. Because your religion isn't going to work. You need the blood of the Lamb shed on your behalf. And you need to be covered by what represents the life of the Lamb. Powerful, huh? From that day on, I'll guarantee you, I know what Adam and Eve preached. Fig leaves don't work. Now, we're going to get to some really cool symbolism here in a bit, or we're already doing it, but from that day on, Adam and Eve would have said, fig tree religion doesn't work. You got to shed the blood of the Lamb, and you got to be covered with its skin. Now, what happens? Think about this now. If you're covered with the skin of that lamb, then what do you look like? You look like the lamb. Are we not supposed to be conformed to the image of the glory of Christ? There is so much symbolism in what happened here. Now, jump ahead to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, you know, we're kind of jumping into the middle of this story here. Jesus had been ministering and so forth. Well, we pick it up in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they, Jesus and the apostles, were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. You see that next word, yet, in italics? It's not really supposed to be there. The time of figs was not. Now, very briefly, that phrase in the Greek means that word time. That which time gives the opportunity to do. In other words, the fig tree was not at a place to do what Jesus wanted it to do. Follow me? Well, Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Okay. Now, you wonder, okay, what's this got to do with it? I mean, I see fig in Genesis chapter 3. I'm seeing fig here. Well, the fig tree has been a metaphor or symbolic of the Jewish people living under the law. Israel, the Jewish people, okay? Now, with that in mind, turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, here in John chapter 5, Jesus had been ministering. This is right after he healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the Jewish religious leaders got all upset about that. Well, Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. Now keep in mind who he's talking to. He's talking to the Jewish people, and specifically to religious leaders of the Jews. He says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Now stop right there. What he says is, you have not his word abiding in you. He said, well, how do you figure that, Jesus? What do you mean? We've got the law. I mean, we got the law and the prophets. What do you mean we don't have his word abiding in me? Well, here's why. Because whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And Jesus, it's almost like he says, and if that isn't clear enough for you, let me explain it a little differently. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now here's what's happened. Moses went up the mountain, God gave him the law. And so for roughly 1,500 years, the Jews had the law. Now, trusting God and keeping the law laid righteousness to their account. However, over the years, the law became like a covering of fig leaves, because they had gotten to the point of thinking just being Jewish and having the law became their religion. That is our religion. We're Jewish and we have the law. That is our religion. That is our belief. That is our security. That's what we see as being our salvation. They felt that because they had it and because of who they were already saved. And so they added to it over the years, and they made it something that it wasn't, and it became a fig tree to them. A fig leaf. A fig leaf salvation to them. And Jesus is saying, hold on here. You think that because you're Jewish and because you have the law, That is your security. He said, you don't understand. It's been pointing to me for 1,500 years. And you don't have it abiding in you, because if you did, then you would believe the one that the God you say you trust has sent. And that's me. The scriptures, go ahead, search them, you religious leaders. Search them, study them. Because they've been pointing to me all this time. And now that I'm here, look what he says. Verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. They already thought they had life. Because they had taken the law and turned it into fig leaves and made a covering for themselves, and they thought everything is okay. We're fine. Not a problem. However, there was a problem. Look over in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And pick this up in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now look at this. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Does this kind of sound like what Jesus was? Okay. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In other words, he's saying, where'd you come up with this revelation that you need a change in your life? He says, now again, I'm paraphrasing big time, but he says, if you guys are doing everything right the way that you say you are, then how about this? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, live according to that which you say you're living by, when in reality you're not. And think not, verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What happened to that fig tree? Jesus walked up to it. There's no fruit. And it dried up from the roots. Now, what was going to happen to that? After it dried up from the roots, well, it's either going to rot and fall over, or somebody's going to come along, chop it down, and use it for firewood. And he's saying that the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. What's he talking about? He's talking about the heritage that Israel has claimed for so many years as being their salvation, as opposed to being that which directed them toward their salvation. And he's saying, hey, you guys, you've been living this way now for nearly 1,500 years, and it has become your religion. It has become your fig tree, your fig leaf salvation. And so now you need to understand, it's over. It's over. And the axe is going to be laid to the root of this thing, and it's going to be cut down, and that which you have placed security in is no longer going to be honored by God for anything. Well, they didn't like that, but then Jesus, here we go, about 3.5 years later, he speaks to the fig tree, and now listen, and he curses it. And it dries up from the roots. In other words, when Jesus was doing that, the symbolism was this. This is not going to work any longer. The fig leaves are no longer going to produce any form of righteousness laid to your account, because I am here and I am replacing the fig tree. And if you don't believe me, then you know what's going to happen? Here we go. You will be hewn down and cast into the fire. He says, you don't understand, guys. You have turned the fig tree and its leaves into your salvation. You have done what Adam and Eve did, and I'm here to tell you it's not going to work. I am the Lamb of God. I am going to shed my blood for you, and I am going to make the covering of my spiritual life available to you. But if you don't put your faith in me, it's never going to happen. Now, look over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And pick this up in verse 22. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God, how? By faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Put on Christ. You've put on the Lamb of God, the skin of the Lamb. And he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. In other words, there's no division relative to this work that is completed in you and on you as a result of what I have done for you. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now look over in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And in verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So what we're seeing is this transition to where the fig tree has dried up. It's withered up from the roots. And again, you know, obviously we're talking symbolism, but you can no longer do anything relative to the works of the law to have righteousness laid to your account. Righteousness is no longer laid to anyone's account. Righteousness is either imparted or it is not. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, that now is your salvation. He is that lamb that was sacrificed for you. Well, as you and I both know, the religious leaders back then, they didn't believe all that, and so they continued to put on the fig leaves. They continued to use that as their religion, in spite of the fact that God, all the way back there in Genesis, made it very clear, fig trees, fig leaves don't work. You need this bloodshed. You need the skin of the lamb. Under the law, when they killed that animal for the sacrifice, they didn't turn around and open up a clothing store with all the animal skins. Now, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And let's take a look here, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This whole thing of denying the Lord that bought them, it doesn't mean they're saying, okay, well, Jesus is not, he was never born, or Jesus is not the Son of God, or whatever, but what they're saying is they're going to say things like he's not the only way, that other religions lead to him. Now, granted, in the extreme, somebody could say, well, I've changed my... Notice it says, bring upon themselves swift destruction, the Lord that bought them. They could, you know, I guess it could, some of them get weird and say, well, you know what, I've changed my mind. Jesus never was born. But that's such an extreme. No, he's talking about false teachers being among us. Well, you know, if some yahoo stands up and says, hey, guess what, guys? I figured out last night Jesus was never born. even carnal Christians, they're not going to want to listen to that. And so he says they're denying the fullness of Christ and who he is and who he was and what he said. But if you jump over to verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In other words, I hope you understand what he's saying here. He said, you're going to have folks come along in your midst, and they're going to start teaching things that will tell you it's okay to give in to wantonness and all this stuff. It's okay to give in to sin because God's grace has already dealt with it. The blood of Jesus has already been shed. Everything's going to be okay. And he's saying, look, once you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you become entangled again therein, the latter end of you is going to be worse than the beginning. In other words, you'll be trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. He says it would have been better for you to have never known than to have denied after you knew him. Now, what's happened is that there has been this increase of fig leaf salvation. And religious beliefs associated with the name of Jesus have proliferated. But these teachings are not adhering to the standards he set forth. In other words, what we're reading right here is happening. People are no longer recognizing Jesus and the standards of holiness, repentance, and so forth as described in Scripture as being mandatory. What they're doing is they're using, figuratively speaking, they're taking fig leaves and they're sowing them fig leaves of it's okay to do this, the fig leaf, it's okay to do that, and they're sowing them together to create their own religion and their own covering. And they believe that when they stand before God, it's going to be acceptable and everything's going to be fine. And he's saying right here, no, it won't be fine. You can't do that. Your only hope is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood for you. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. And it's interesting how some people could say, well, yeah, you know, Jesus, he spoke to the fig tree, and that represents, you know, the end of living under the law and the end of, you know, all those Jewish principles and so forth and the transition, you know, just like what God did back there in Genesis. Yeah, well, if you walk away from the cross and you go to a fig tree and you start plucking leaves to create your own religion for your own covering for sin, trust me, the end of you is going to be a lot worse than the beginning, and it would have been, according to Scripture, it would have been better for you to have never known Jesus Christ and that way of salvation than to have known and turned away from it. Look here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." He's saying, look, Jesus, He did His work. You put your faith in Him, and now He is fully prepared to present you holy and unblameable before Almighty God, but only if you continue in the faith. What do we read about the faith over there in Galatians? When faith comes, what faith? Faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone and His standards and His word for your salvation and your eternity. And He says, you will be presented holy and blameless before the throne of God if you continue in what you have believed. If you continue in the gospel. And see, you have churches today. They're going to tell you all about, they'll say Jesus. They'll sing about Jesus. And they'll tell you about, oh yeah, He died on the cross, you know, shed His blood and so forth. But then they'll turn around and start passing out fig leaves and saying, but it's okay for these things. It's okay to have this kind of a marriage because, you know, after all, love is love. I mean, God accepts you the way you are and He understands how you are. Don't rebel against who you are and how God made you. You're the way you are because of what... See what I'm saying? Just sow another fig leaf. Just sow another fig leaf. Just sow another fig leaf. And I'm telling you right now, these people, they are slowly but surely searing their conscience. And when you are yielding to the flesh, you're going to sear your conscience a whole lot faster. And you are going to be clothed in a coat of fig leaves as opposed to a coat of the skin of the Lamb of God. Guys, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. And make sure that what you hear taught and what you choose to believe lines up with what God has given us in His Word. And do not create a fig leaf salvation for yourself. Our salvation is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Praise the Lord.